I was reading an article. It's surprising. I was looking at, I keep up with what's taking place in the world, and a gal in Finland's parliament, she's a member of Finland's parliament, her name is Päivi Räsänen. She was taken to court twice for agitation against a minority group. And she had her second trial for hate speech because she quoted the Bible in a personal website. And she asked a question of her church. It was in response to her church's position about the LGBTQ pride event and why would they support that. She quoted Romans 1:24. Might as well go there. Romans 1:24. It would be nice if I was in Romans 1. So her church was supporting LGBTQ, and she had a reference to Romans 1:24-26. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of for what is against nature. She only asked the question, why would we support this? And she said, in retrospect, she said she was representing classical Christian view of marriage and sexuality that has been taught in churches for two millennia. She said, I do not come insulting or threatening or slandering anyone. But a 34-page complaint directed against her was made by the state prosecutor for the words that she wrote from the Bible, challenging fundamental Christian doctrine. The prosecutor likened the Bible to Mein Kampf. And if you know what the Mein Kampf is, it is Adolf Hitler's book, My Struggle, when he was in prison. He wrote a book called Mein Kampf, My Struggle. And it was the foundation upon which we had Nazism and the world went into World War. The prosecutor likened the Bible to Mein Kampf. Now, the article continued. This is a quote from the article. A comparison not entirely unfounded, given the way the former has been used to justify violence and hatred throughout history. The writer here is not, he's not stepping away from what the prosecutor was saying. The prosecutor described unrelated biblical verses as bad speech and explained the use of the term sins to be harmful. Bible teachings aren't accepted by this world, and this member of Finland's parliament has been taken to court now twice. She was acquitted in the first trial, and she's awaiting the verdict on the second trial sometime in November. She's going to have it identified. She is charged under the Finnish Criminal Code, quote, war crimes and crimes against humanity, for using the Bible as speech. Her appeals, the state is appealing the verdict and should be out by the end of November. Why do I bring this up? It's because we need to have the basics of what God says we should be doing in mind, because there is a war against true Christianity. Not everybody who wears the label Christian is a Christ follower. We need to know what Christ, God says in the book and then follow it, because society is stepping away. There is a war against Christianity. Every time we come up with fundamentals, the societal position against Christianity and perceptions, we come in conflict with the world. Today's title is The Sabbath is the Sabbath. The day we're here, the Sabbath, is the Sabbath. It is the day we observe and worship God. And it's for my in my generations, for my years, it was one of the more controversial things in my head. From the day I was 14 and I was introduced to the Sabbath, I knew it was right, but I hated it. I didn't want it to be right, but I intellectually knew it was right. Many people fight the idea of the Sabbath. One of the more emotional issues in the Christian sphere that raises the hackles and the angers and charges passion is against this Sabbath day, the day that we observe, which is one of the founding beliefs of the church. We're going to look at the Sabbath today from the Bible position. It is a biblical position and a historical position. And we in the church, we have a statement of beliefs. We have a statement on the Sabbath. And I'll just read it here. It says, this is from our fundamental beliefs. We believe that the seventh day of the week is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. On this day, we are commanded to rest from our labors and worship God, following the teachings and examples of Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the New Testament church. And there's a whole history here of scriptures that are listed. There are 58 references to the Sabbath in the New Testament, more than the Old Testament. And we can make a stronger case for observing the Sabbath in the New Testament than the Old Testament. People say, well, that's Old Testament stuff. Well, no, it goes well into the New Testament. There are groups that refer to the first day of the week as now being the day of the Lord and the day by which we observe the Sabbath, a Sabbath day. But those six, there's eight references to the first day of the week. Six refer to Jesus Christ and the resurrection. He was resurrected. They saw him the beginning of the first day of the week. Doesn't say that the Sabbath was changed. They use it to justify Sunday observance. One is when the church was asked for donations to be set aside, and another one in Acts 20 where there was just a simple congregational gathering. A couple of weeks ago, we had a gathering in Morgan Hill, various churches. That was on a Sunday, but that wasn't a Sunday service. It was on the Sabbath. An objective review of Scripture will reveal that the majority of the religions today have chosen the wrong day. Now, it is accepted scholarly research that there is no argument that the New Testament church kept the Sabbath, kept Saturday the Sabbath. No debate, no question. And at the conclusion of the book of Acts, which is around 62 AD, somewhere around there, the church was keeping and observing the Sabbath day and the holy days. And the church at that time was primarily Gentile. People point to the Sabbath as saying, oh, it's that Jewish day. But we'll get to that because it was never a Jewish day. But it was mostly a Gentile church at that time. You know, Cornelius was converted between 40 and 50 AD, and after that, the church became predominantly Gentile. It was sometimes after the conclusion of the book of Acts that the Sabbath and the holy days were changed or done away. And frankly, it's centuries before the Sabbath was changed. Now, the dictionary defines the Sabbath as being the seventh day of the week. And there's no dispute that Saturday is considered the seventh day of the week. The word Sabbath is rest. In fact, you go to various languages, sabido, which is Spanish, and I'm going to stop there because that's all I know. They call it the Sabbath. It's interesting to note that Saturday, Sabbath, is the only day that is identified in the book. It's the only day of the week that has a name. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, those are man-made days. But the Sabbath is the only one that was given a name. It was given the name of rest. It was given the name of taking a rest. The Sabbath is not an end in itself. Now, some have suggested that if you're keeping Saturday as the Sabbath, then you're worshiping the Sabbath. And I can understand that from a different standpoint. We worship God on the Sabbath, but there are individuals who worship the Sabbath day. There is 39 categories in the Jewish religion for rules of what not to do on the Sabbath day. Where did I write those? I wrote those down somewhere. Got this whole list here. The idea of Sabbath, we're told to keep it holy. We're not told how to keep it holy, but we're told to keep it holy. It's a personal thing. It's a day that God has given to us. We'll get into that. But in 39 categories of don'ts, dealing with carrying, burdening, extinguishing, finishing, writing, erasing, cooking, washing, sewing, tearing, knitting, untying, shaping, plowing, planting, reaping, harvesting, threshing, winning, you get the idea. There's 39 of these. So much so that if someone were to step on a blade of grass, it would be considered harvesting because you are bending or breaking a great blade of grass. And that's wrong. When I was living in New York City, on those hot days, you're walking past a window, there was a fellow who had his window open and a coin next to his fan. He's not allowed to turn on the fan because that is sparking electricity spark. That's starting a fire. And he would have someone start his fan so he could cool off and give him the coin because he wouldn't touch the fan. That's worshiping the Sabbath. We worship God on the Sabbath. It's a day when we stop from our activities, when we put aside our activities and we look to God for our relationship with Him. Some say, I worship God every day. And that's true. We should. We should worship God every day of the week. But that doesn't release us from the formal observance of the day that God has set aside for us. From the formal observance of the Sabbath. Okay, yeah. Let's go to Romans 1. Oh, we're there. Romans 1. I was just there. Romans 1, verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. And birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And am I in the right spot? Yeah. And therefore God gave them over to uncleanness. Actually, we've just talked about that. It's never right to serve or worship anything but God. God is the creator. God is our salvation. God is the one we worship. Everything we do should be because of our relationship with Him. Now, we worship God and only. We don't worship the things that He created. But let's go back to the beginning, Genesis 2. This is centuries before the Jewish state existed, centuries before, millennia before, this idea that this is just a Jewish day. Genesis 2, verse 2. Genesis 2, verse 2. This is at the end of creation week. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His works which He had created and made. He stopped His work. He blessed the day, and then He sanctified it. He set it apart. Something that God sets apart, that's what sanctified means. Set apart for a special purpose. We can't unsanctify. Only God can. God rested, blessed, and sanctified the day. Did God need to rest? No. God's God. His work was, we could say, mental. And He was not tired. And yet it talks about Him being refreshed after His creation. He made the creation. But He gave us an example by which we stop from our work. He set the example. Not only did God create the Sabbath, He sanctified it, made it holy time. He then added a blessing to it. And this is just in the first two chapters. There was no hint of the Jewish nation at the time. Now, there are two words for Hebrew in Hebrew for the Sabbath. One is Sabbat, which means rest, and the other is Shabbat, which is a noun meaning the rest. I lost my thought. I should have written it down. Okay, there's two words, a verb and a noun for the Sabbath. And as I said, it's interesting that God gave a name to the last day of the week, but not the first or second or third. Those days came by man. I think Monday is moon, Sunday is soul, the sun god. Monday is moon in Tuesday is Thus, Thursday is Thor. I forget the rest. In the New Testament, in the Greek, the word sabbaton means solemn or holy rest, and one is to cease from labor. The Sabbath rest is, of course, built on that word. God made the Sabbath. God sanctified the Sabbath. He made it holy. Nothing from the beginning in Genesis is mentioned to the Sabbath until Exodus 20. But there's an interesting word that's added. Join me in Exodus 20. Some think, well, the Sabbath was not instituted until Exodus 20, when Israel was being given the commandments of God. Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. They were told to remember something that had been part of their lives. You can't remember something if you're just being told to keep the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall work and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, your family, nobody works. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He made it special. You cannot be asked to remember something you had not already known. So from the beginning, day one, Sabbath was instituted for Adam and Eve and down through creation. It was given to mankind, not just one nation. What's very interesting is God wanted to impress everyone on the importance of keeping the Sabbath day, so much so that he instituted a death sentence. Exodus 35, please. Exodus 35. The gravity of observing the Sabbath day, that there was a penalty for breaking the Sabbath day. Exodus 35, verse 2. Verse 1. Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. These aren't Moses' words. These aren't Aaron's words. These aren't some stray words. These are words that God has given me to give to you. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. Wow, a death sentence. What other offenses are listed for a death penalty? Murder, kidnapping, adultery, children dishonoring their parents, and breaking the Sabbath. Now, all of these still exist. But why not the Sabbath? If the Sabbath was not the Sabbath today, as it was back then, in the resurrection, you want to tell someone who broke the Sabbath back then, who died because they broke the Sabbath, and say, well, you were just born thousands of years too soon because the Sabbath didn't matter. It does matter. And God was letting everyone know the significance and the importance of keeping this day before him, that we are worshiping God on the Sabbath day. So it was so important that God instituted a death sentence. Now, the Sabbath is also a sign. Not the sign, but a sign. Exodus 31, verse 13. Exodus 31, verse 13. Back up a few pages. Verse 12, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths, multiple, you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who sets you apart. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. And everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off. We understand that this is not cut off for eternity. This is cut off just in a physical life. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. The Sabbath is a sign. We know today that the sign that we are Christ followers, that we are Christian, is that we have love one for another. Right? Isn't that what Scripture says? That when we have love one for another, that is a sign of being a Christ follower. Keeping the Sabbath means that we have a relationship with God. Leviticus 23, just for grins, just want to read the beginning of it. We know that we have the feast of the Lord. We know that we have the high days that we talk about. We have the Passover, which leads into the days of unleavened bread, which then goes to Pentecost, then trumpets, atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and that eighth day. Here in Leviticus 23 is the list of the feasts. It is the first feast that is mentioned. The Sabbath is the first feast. Verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, these are my feasts. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts. The first one mentioned, verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. The first of the list of the feast of God is the Sabbath day. The Sabbath hasn't been done away. The Sabbath is important to God. The Sabbath identifies us as having a relationship with God. It's interesting to note that God yesterday, today, and tomorrow is the same. Hebrews 13:8 says God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the one who gave us the Sabbath. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And we can prove that in the future we're going to keep the Sabbath. So the Sabbath cannot have been done away. Now, we're still there. 31 verse 16. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Again, God didn't need to stop. He wasn't tired. He wasn't sweating. He didn't have a glass of cold water to cool down. He was refreshed because the Sabbath day was given to man, and now the plan that he has put together is in play, is in process. The Sabbath is a separate covenant, a perpetual covenant. There is a built-in obsolescence to sacrifices, right? We look at all the sacrifices that man was to do, but that went away with Jesus Christ. He became our one and only sacrifice. There is a built-in obsolescence to the high priest. The high priest was in place of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came, he is our high priest. He lives today. There is no built-in obsolescence for the Sabbath. It's going to be observed forever. Interesting that so important is the Sabbath day. Join me in Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20. And verse 23. So important that Israel went into captivity because they forgot the Sabbath day. They set it aside. They profaned the Sabbath. Ezekiel 20, verse 23. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the Gentiles, in whose sight I have brought them out. Also, I raised my hand and an oath. Am I in the right spot, Ezekiel? Yeah. Also, I raised my hand in an oath to those in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them throughout the countries because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, profaned my Sabbath, and their eyes were fixed on their father's idols. The Sabbath is important. It identifies us as followers of God. The Sabbath is not a day just given to the Jews. The Sabbath was given to man. God created and identified the Sabbath. God blessed and sanctified the Sabbath. God commanded Israel to keep the Sabbath prior to Mount Sinai, prior to giving of the Ten Commandments to Israel, prior to the Old Covenant, and then reconfirmed. God made a separate covenant with us through the Sabbath. Now, there's that intertestamental period. This is between from the end of the Old Testament. I call it the Malachi Papers, but the book of Malachi, and then restarts then with the book of Matthew. It's at the end of the Old Testament, around 350 to 400 B.C. The Sabbath was still enforced. The Word of God then continued for through the life of Christ with the Gospels, hundreds of years later. Changes were made during this intertestamental period. You didn't have the temple, you had the synagogue. You didn't have the priesthood the way it was back at the time Moses forward, but you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes. You had a different group operating things. But the Sabbath never changed. The Sabbath never changed. The Sabbath remains still enforced. Now, all scholars agree that Jesus Christ never broke the Sabbath. He may have tarnished the tradition of men, which caused them to have their nose bent out of shape, but he kept the Sabbath. Matthew 12, verse 8. Matthew 12, verse 8. Oh, this is very true. Some people say, well, don't I work on the Sabbath? It's one of my biggest work days. But am I profaning the Sabbath day? This is teaching God's word. This is what we do. Verse 1, I'll start up there. And at the time Jesus went through the grain fields of the Sabbath and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. You know what they did? They were going through the fields and they would grab the grain and they would rub it together. And that was like winnowing, because you're getting rid of the husk and all the things that were holding the grain together. And what you ended up with were wheat, grains of wheat. And they were eating the grains of wheat. Began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw that, they said to him, look, your disciples are, look what they're doing. This is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Really? No. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and he ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest? The showbread was given to the priests. It was for them to eat. Now, they didn't have to eat it all. And when it came to exchanging it, they could do whatever they wanted with it. But at the time, David and his men, they were being hunted down. They went to the priest and they said, well, here, have this bread. At the time, it was our bread, the priest. And they gave it to David and his men. And it was okay to do that. It was okay to do that. Well, his disciples were just winnowing grains of wheat. And the Pharisees got their nose bent out of shape. Or have you not read, verse 5, in the law, that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless. I work on the Sabbath. It is a joy, it's a privilege, an honor to work on the Sabbath day in this regard. I wouldn't be doing my grass, I wouldn't be fixing my yard, I wouldn't be planting trees, I wouldn't be working. This is what I do on the Sabbath day. Yet, verse 6, I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. We know he was the one who gave the Ten Commandments. We know that Jesus Christ is the word by which we understand this whole book. And he's Lord of the Sabbath, and he has given the Sabbath to mankind. Matthew, just over a few pages. Mark 2, verse 28. Well, verse 27. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the day we worship God. The Sabbath is our identifier that we are God's, that we obey God. And it was made for us. We were not made to worship the Sabbath. We were made to worship on the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. It was his practice, Jesus Christ's practice, his custom to observe the Sabbath, that he taught on the Sabbath. He went to trial for breaking the traditions of the Sabbath, but those were traditions of men, not of God. Pharisees made the Sabbath a burden. As I told you, that there are 39 categories, of which there are hundreds of do's and don'ts, actually don'ts, and the Sabbath became a burden. And Jesus Christ was at odds with the traditions of men. Not that the day established was holy. He's not at odds with that. But how man wanted to observe this day. It was his custom to teach on the Sabbath. That's Luke 14. You could put Luke 4:16. You put that in your notes. Paul, one of the great writers of the New Testament, preached on the Sabbath, taught on the Sabbath. Well, let's go there. Acts 17. I got a moment or two here. Acts 17, verse 2. Then Paul, as his custom was, this is what he did, went into them for three Sabbaths, reasoned with them from the Scriptures. He talked about where man was, where man is, and where man was going. But on the Sabbath day, it was his custom to teach on the Sabbath. And we know in Colossians 2 that the congregation of Colossae kept the Sabbath. That's what it says. The congregation kept the Sabbath. Now, I've got a bunch of more stuff here I'm trying to weed out. I brought too much. Hebrews 4. This is the only time the word sabbatismos is used. And in verse 9, there remains therefore a rest, sabbatismo, for the people of God. Sabbatismo, it's the meaning is a Sabbath of rest, a keeping of the Sabbaths, multiple. And Paul states that there remains a keeping of the Sabbath for the people of God. We keep the Sabbath day. It is a day that we keep. Now, what happened to the Sabbath? Historians who have an intellectual sense of honesty will recognize true history of what happened to the Sabbath. Constantine made Sunday a civil day of rest. We're talking about 321 A.D., so we're talking almost 300 years after Christ. If the Sabbath was going to go away, it should have gone away at the time of Christ. He could have stopped it back then. But in March 7th, I think that's an interesting, March 7th, 321 A.D., when Emperor Constantine I, a pagan sun worshiper, came to power, he legalized Christianity and made the first Sunday keeping law. His infamous Sunday enforcement of March 7th reads as follows. This is a quote. On the venerable day of the sun, let the magistrates and people residing in cities rest and let all workshops be closed. He made a law observing Sunday. The Sunday law was officially confirmed by the Roman papacy. The Council of Laodicea in 364 decreed, quote, Christians shall not Judaize and be idle on Saturday, but shall work on that day. But the Lord's day they shall especially honor, and as being Christians shall, if possible, do no work on that day. If, however, they are found Judaizing, they shall be shut out from Christ. And this was cited from Charles Heffeli, A History of the Councils of the Church. Cardinal Gibbons, and my introduction to the Sabbath was Cardinal Gibbons, in a book titled Faith of Our Fathers, he writes, you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we, the Catholic Church, never sanctified. And again, the Catholic Church, by virtue of her divine mission, changed the day of Saturday from Saturday to Sunday. And this is from Faith of Our Fathers and also the Catholic Mirror, which is an official publication of James Cardinal Gibbons. H.F. Thomas writes, he was chancellor of Cardinal Gibbons, he writes, Protestants do not realize that by observing Sunday, they accept the authority of the spokesperson of the church, the Pope. The Catholic Church claims, the Catholic Church claims that the change Saturday Sabbath to Sunday was her act, and the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical authority in religious things. The Catholic Church claims that the church is above the Bible, and this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact, and that's from the Catholic Record of London, 1923. There's intellectual honesty there. Intellectual honesty. Now, as I said early on, there are those who try and say in Scripture that on that first day of the week they came together, therefore that changed the Sabbath day. There are those who say, well, when Christ was risen, that changed the Sabbath day. I have where are they? Yeah, let me give you some quotes. I find this very, very helpful, actually. Intellectual honesty. Not emotional, but intellectual honesty. From the Convert's Catechism of Catholic Doctrine, which day is the Sabbath day? Saturday is the Sabbath day. Why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? We observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church in the Council of Laodicea in 363 transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. From the Catholic Press in 1900, Sunday is a Catholic institution and can be defended only by Catholic principles. From beginning to end of Scripture, there is not a single passage that warrants the transfer of weekly public worship from the last day of the week to the first. It's honest. It's honest. There's no equivocation, no resting of Scriptures. They tell you, we felt we have the power and authority to change the day. Methodist. This is Charles Buck in a theological dictionary under Sabbath. The Sabbath in the Hebrew language signifies rest and is the seventh day of the week. And it must be confessed that there is no law in New Testament concerning the first day. The reason we observe the first day instead of the seventh is based on no positive command. One will search the scriptures in vain for authority for changing the seventh day to the first. Presbyterian, under the title of A Christian at Work in 1883, April of 1883. Some have tried to build the observance of Sunday upon apostolic command, whereas the apostles gave no command on the matter at all. The truth is, so soon as we appeal to the literal writings of Scripture, the Sabbatarians have the best of the argument. Anglican. This is Isaac Williams, Plain Sermons on the Catechism. Where are we told in Scripture that we are to keep the first day at all? We are commanded to keep the seventh, But we are nowhere commanded to keep the first day of the week. The reason why we keep the first day of the week holy instead of the seventh is for the same reason that we observe many other things. Not because of the Bible, but because the church has enjoined it. Baptist. I started out Baptist, Protestant. That was part of my beginnings. Harold Linzel, an editor of Christianity Today in 1976, there is nothing in Scripture that requires us to keep Sunday rather than Saturday as a holy day. There was and is a command to keep holy the Sabbath day. But that Sabbath day was not Sunday. It will, however, be readily said, and with some show of triumph, that the Sabbath was transferred from the seventh to the first day of the week with all its duties, privileges, and sanctions. Earnestly desiring information on the subject, which I have studied for years, I ask, where can the record of such a transaction be found? Not in the New Testament. Absolutely not. There is no scriptural evidence for the change of the Sabbath institution from the seventh to the first day of the week. And that was partly authored by Dr. E.T. Hiscox in the Baptist Manual. Okay, let's see, who wrote this? I've got it highlighted. This is from Monsignor Louis Segor under Plain Talk About the Protestantism of Today. He writes, quote, if Protestants would follow the Bible, they would worship God on the Sabbath day. In keeping the Sunday, they are following the law of the Catholic Church. Albert Smith, Albert Smith, Chancellor of the Archdiocese in 1920. Monsignor Louis Segur, doesn't say when, he writes, the observance of Sunday by the Protestants is homage they pay in spite of themselves to the authority of the Catholic Church. And I had another one here. I have 50 statements from various organizations talking about the Sabbath day, that when we are intellectually honest about what Scripture says, we observe the Sabbath, or we are agreeing with another group. Many of you might have already heard about the Moody Bible Institute. D.L. Moody writes, the Sabbath was binding in Eden and has been in force ever since. This fourth commandment begins with the word remember, showing that the Sabbath already existed when God wrote the law on the tables of stone in Sinai. How can men claim that this one commandment has been done away with when they will admit that the other nine are still binding? I had that question. Back in 1995, I asked someone, so it's nine of 10 commandments that you want to follow? Yes. Oh, no. Because this, the conflict was in his mind. Yeah, we want to keep the nine, not the... Oh, yeah. So if nine are still good, the tenth has to be still good. The fourth... In 1881, Moody writes, this fourth is not a commandment for one place or one time, but for all places and all times. The Sabbath is for everyone. And I've got Episcopals and Southern Baptists, and I've got others. I don't want to run out of time too much here. I'm looking at my time. From Rome's Challenge, the Immaculate Heart, in 2003, most Christians assume that Sunday is the biblically approved day of worship. The Catholic Church protests that it transferred Christian worship from the biblical Sabbath, Saturday, to Sunday, and that to try to argue that the change was made in the Bible is both dishonest and a denial of Catholic authority. If Protestantism wants to base its teaching only on the Bible, it should worship on the Sabbath. I think I'm doing overkill here. I'll skip all those. But I'm running out of my notes here. As I pointed out, some Protestants suggest that Sunday observance is in respect to Christ's resurrection. And we've gone over the 3 days and three nights and have proven that Jesus Christ was not resurrected on a Sunday, but at the end of the Sabbath. Scholars are Catholic scholars, some of the best scholars, biblical scholars, point out that Scripture does not support Sunday worship. Biblical followers are obligated to keep the Sabbath, sundown to sundown. And Sunday observance is based on the Catholic Church decision. Now, some claim any day will do. You know, that's not what the book says. That's not what the book says. It says the seventh day. Some say that we can choose any day. Well, choose Friday, choose Thursday. Yes, we worship God every day by what we say and what we do. But the formal observance in our relationship with God is on the Sabbath. God made the rules. Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man, not just the Jews. Now, why do I bring all this up? It's because Christianity is being attacked. We have to be ready in our minds to understand and defend our belief in the fundamentals that God has given to us. Some people say, well, Sabbath was nailed to the cross, right? What was nailed to the cross were our sins. What was nailed to the cross is your rap sheet. What was nailed to the cross and then covered by the blood of Jesus Christ are the sins that would cause us to die. That's what was nailed to the cross. Some say, well, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Therefore, we don't have to. But again, we get back to that 9 of the 10 commandments. Nothing in the Bible does away with the Sabbath. He fulfilled it, meaning he made it complete. We're still following the law of God. Others still say, well, the Sabbath is only for the Jews. But we started in Genesis. It was given to all mankind. Some say, well, you're just a legalist. And this, of course, is an emotional argument that is without merit. I was told that I was a legalist. And I said, well, you get to the point where that's who I am. I have no choice. I'm not going, oh, it's Friday. What does the book say? Exodus 20. Oh, I remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Okay, I have to choose to keep it holy. I am a Sabbatarian. I keep the Sabbath. I don't even think, it's not even second nature. It's who I am. I had a phone call from someone in Virginia. A young man wanted to debate Scripture with me. You know, when you're on the internet, these things happen. And he says, is your mind open? I said, about some things. He says, not about everything. Don't you want to have an open mind? I said, my mind is open about a number of things. My mind is closed about a number of things. And he says, what is your mind closed about? I said, the Sabbath. I heard a little breath go back. He says, you mean Sunday? I said, no, Sabbath, Saturday. I won't debate Saturday. It's a belief. I don't debate beliefs. I don't debate opinions. I'll explain my beliefs to you. I'll tell you if I have an opinion, but I don't debate. He wanted me to go on his blog or his website and debate live. I don't need to do that. I'm a Sabbatarian. I keep the Sabbath. I recognize the Ten Commandments of God, and I try and make it part of me. So I'm not a legalist. A legalist is one who says, seventh day, the book says I have to, okay, I'm not going to work today. And then the next week is, it's that seventh day. What does it say about that? No. After a while, it becomes part of you. It's who you are. Some people say that we're not under the old covenant, but the new covenant. The new covenant is easy and gentle and nice. But the new covenant is Sabbath-based. Some say the letter of the law is abolished, and it's now spiritual. It is. I keep the Sabbath in my heart and my mind. You know, Scripture, when Christ said, I've come to illuminate and advance the law. He says, it used to be if you commit adultery, you could be put to death. But now you've committed it in your heart, in your mind. If no one else knows but you, you still have broken the law because it's now spiritual. It's part of you. It's who you are. The Sabbath day is that. It's part of us. It's who we are. And in my lifetime, I was challenged on the Sabbath. And in my early years, I was nervous need about it. I didn't want to be challenged on the Sabbath. In my 46 years in business, I was only asked once to work on the Sabbath. And because the Sabbath to me is not an issue. Now, there are some people who say, well, they have a Sabbath issue. What they really mean is they have a job issue. It's the job, not the Sabbath, because the Sabbath comes first. In all my years, I was only asked to work once on the Sabbath, and I said no, and they said, okay. That's not my hot button. It's not something I have trouble with. It's not something that I have to deal with on a daily basis or a weekly basis. I have my other things, and we won't go into that. I think all of us have our buttons. Sabbath is not one. But when we come to recognize that it's not a Sabbath issue, it's a job issue, then our adversary will start poking at other things in our lives. We can summarize all this. God created the Sabbath. He rested, giving us an example that we are to stop from our work and effort. He blessed this day, that when we observe it, we are part of that blessing. And he sanctified it. He set it apart for us. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was made for us. A day to stop. Not one day in seven, but the seventh day. He hallowed it, and he commanded that we should observe it. It's also a sign that we are observing God's laws in our lives. That is a sign between us and God. Sabbath is only one of the fundamental beliefs that we have in God's Word. But as I see where the world is going, all of Christianity is under attack. And we need to have our nose in God's Word and know what we believe. So I thought I'd bring the Sabbath to you today, and I hope that was helpful.